I call on Jan Logie to make her valedictory statement. Yeah.
Tēnā koe, Mr. Speaker. As I rise for perhaps the last time in this House, in the wake of Aupito's inspiring valedictory, I've decided to come as my proudest lesbian self and boiler suit goodness. But first up, I want to acknowledge all the support and the resilience of my family. My mum Judith, my dad Ray, my brother Ian, and my friends, despite the fact I've been a bloody terrible friend and family member for the last decade. I specifically want to acknowledge my mate Liz, who I share a mortgage and side-by-side homes with in the fabulous Cannons Creek, who has kept things running when I've been absent. In my time in Parliament, I've been lucky to fall in love with Kath and become a member of the Council of Mothers with Kath, Justine and Danielle, caring for the two fabulous young wahine, Pippi and Vita. Yes, I see you. It's been so beautiful to be welcomed into such a generous extended family as a well-intended, though often absent, member. Love you lots. Kath, I need to particularly thank for putting up with some of the worst dates ever, including protests, election panels, vigils for murdered women and children. Forcing her introvert self out door knocking, staying up with me until 3 a.m, swatting up on progressive political messaging ahead of caucus meetings, and being there when I was struggling to breathe in the wake of Materia's resignation, feeling as if the bastards had won, and needing to be on TV in less than an hour. So many acts of kindness. Thank you. But I still won't be proposing. I've spent much of my life disengaged from parliamentary politics because the politicians I saw on the news seemed more interested in one-upping each other than genuinely working for our communities. I used to say I decided to stand for Parliament to stop yelling at the politicians on the radio, and now I'm leaving because I want to stop yelling at myself on the radio. It has been a real privilege getting to fight for people in this place. But my theory of change is about the movement, not the individual. And part of the job that no one really gets to see is the absolute joy of connecting with those on the ground doing amazing mahi, people reflecting on how we could do better and organising to make it happen. In my experience, none of the good things in this place happen without those people and groups. They are the heart of our democracy. And that's not a criticism of this place. That is something that I think reflects well on us. This speech is my love letter to my colleagues and everyone in the public sector and communities who have had the incredible privilege to be challenged by, learn from and work with. Every single day there are people all over this country and in this place bringing the beauty of environmental and social justice and democracy to life through their work and their advocacy. And tonight, I want to celebrate them, including all the incredible Green members and staff here and at the party. Specifically, I want to call out to the teams in my office, Marie Resimanu. See you. Jesse Dennis, Ray Wintate, Sarah Saunders, and my ministerial office from last term, Claire Lyons, Heather McDonald, Stephanie Rogers, Sarah McGray, and Mel King. I really am indebted to their singular and collective brilliance. And I want to acknowledge the unions, particularly E2 and CVEP, Graduate Women, YWCA, Mind the Gap, National Council of Women, and my sheroes, Christine Bartlett and friends, for all of their work to ensure every worker is paid according to the value of their work. Our economy has too long relied on exploiting traditional women's work. It's been a long battle, and we're not there yet. Come on, pay transparency, and the care and support workers settlement. But over 175,000 women have got massive pay rises in the last 6 years. And I also want to acknowledge AAAP, CPAG, New Zealand Council of Christian Social Services, Wesley Action, the City Mission, Salvation Army, beneficiary rights groups from Southland to Northland. We are beneficiaries, Metiria Ture and many others. Government has the power to eliminate poverty. There is frustration at the painfully low implementation of what was recommended by the Welfare Expert Advisory Group. WEAG created a pathway that represented the interests of business, working people, the sick and disabled in our whānau and communities. The potential for well-being from this consensus has been squandered by a government that limited itself by refusing to take on the inequities of our tax system. Just tax the rich already. That said, I will be very excited, though, to see fair pay agreements roll out, and I feel lucky to have worked with unions and the government over the last 6 years to help get us to this point. I really hope people who care about reducing inequality vote to ensure these agreements come to fruition. Our communities need this foundation. Fired-up stilettos and our Uber drivers are more examples of ordinary people supported by union colleagues putting themselves on the line for work rights for themselves and others. This is work towards human dignity. We should celebrate them, and we should make their lives a little easier by increasing the Labour Inspectorate and creating stronger protections for all workers, not just employees. And we need far more fundamental reform of ACC to ensure it can deliver on Owen Woodhouse's intent. This has been said in this house. Shout out to ACC Futures Coalition and others. There is so much potential here to strengthen our social safety net. Maternal birth injuries was a start, but we need to eliminate discrimination on the grounds of accident, illness or birth as intended, that work is to come. May I have said before in this house, and I am serious about it, that family violence and sexual violence are endemic and a shame in this country. And sadly, there's no one solution to changing it. I need to acknowledge the Honourable Andrew Little and Jacinda Ardern for letting me roam well beyond a tight interpretation of my delegation's last term to unleash some of the wisdom from our communities, and I am so grateful. Thanks to the efforts of Tua Nest, Ngā Kaitiaki Māori, all our women's refuges, Te Kupinga, Korowai, Tumanako, Ange Jury, Kim McGregor, Louise Nicholas, Heather Hanari, David White, Ken Clearwater, Help Auckland and Wellington, all the rape crises, Start, Shakti, Sharma, Etu Whānau, Pacifica Proud, Lewa, Te Putahitanga, Māori Women's Welfare League, Pru Kāpua, Tā Mark Solomon, Te Whakaruruhau, Te Hiku, Aviva Shine, Tū Wahine Trust, Tū Tama Wahine, Kite Rapu I Te Ora Trust, Voice Whakarongomai, Mojo Mathers, Debbie Hager, Laurie Magnus, Sue Hobbs, Thursdays in Black, Community Law, Elizabeth McDonald, Yvette Tinsley, Julia Tommy, Jan Jordan, the Family Violence Clearinghouse, and so many more people who hold the wisdom. Their efforts, we managed to get a dedicated minister, go the Honourable Marama Davidson, family violence legislative reform, sexual violence legislation and a plan to address the issues identified in the 2009 Task Force for Action on Sexual Violence. We got around $500 million towards community-based services, including tailored services. We set up infrastructure to break down government silos and create processes of genuine accountability. And we started the long journey of the Crown taking responsibility for the harm it has caused, and ensuring people get the right help when they need it. Interim Te Rōpū, sorry you never got a decent name, did the foundational work that led to Te Ao Ririkura, a national strategy to end violence over generations. And I do believe having a plan that was driven by Māori leadership, not our public service, and no shade meant, has given us something far more inclusive, far more real, and less risk-averse. I get so frustrated, and that's polite, when I hear suggestions that enabling Māori leadership is divisive. The experience of communities I speak to and listen to is the polar opposite. I was attending a community election panel organised by Te Pae Ora a few weeks ago, and I was so encouraged that so many of the questions from the floor to all the parties were seeking to get a commitment to Te Ao Ririkura. We need community to hold everyone in here to account to ensure the work is sustained and driven regardless of shifts in political or news cycles. I trust them to do this. The staff of the joint venture, now Tipuna Aonui, had and have a really tricky job leading change right across the public sector, and I am incredibly grateful to them. It has not been easy. There is so much more to do. But the community, with Marama Davidson, have this. One of those things, though, that we need to do is we need to do much better by our children who have experienced violence or neglect. And I want to pay tribute to all the survivors who have shared their story with the Royal Commission and to Voice Whakarongomai and children's rights advocates, Hands Off Our Tamariki and our children's commissioners. Children who have experienced trauma need love and care and to know what loving relationships look like. The Royal Commission has already highlighted the intergenerational impact of abuse in state care and how that drove gang culture. When we punish these young people for the survival skills that they've learnt because of our failures and past violence, we condemn ourselves to repeat history and we make a continuation to continue violence. I want to thank Women's Refuge, Shine, Māori Women's Welfare League, Zonta, National Council of Women, the Human Rights Commission, unions, especially the PSA, for everything they did to help pass legislation putting workplace protections in place for victims of domestic violence. This was a world first that other jurisdictions around the world are now following. Being a world first has been almost as amazing as hearing the difference from survivors that this has made to them. I also want to give a shout out to ALRANS, Dame Margaret Sparrow, FPA, and quite a few good women journalists who pushed for abortion law reform alongside many others. I'm so proud that the Greens were the first party to put our commitment to reform into policy. It was a highlight for me to work with women across this house to progress the reform of our abortion legislation. My maiden speech, I also spoke about the beauty of diversity, and I want to thank Alison Hamlet, Jack Byrne, Louisa Wall, Dr. Elizabeth Kirikiri, Marnie Mitchell, Kevin Honui, as well as Gender Minorities Aotearoa, Inside Out, Rainbow Youth, ITANS, for all their often unpaid work to ensure a voice, rights and protection for takatāpui, intersex, non-binary, LGBTQIA plus peoples. I was honoured as a cis feminist lesbian to accept petitions to this parliament to enable self-identification of gender on birth certificates and gender-affirming birth healthcare. We quickly got a political consensus on the right to self-ID when it was first considered by this parliament, and our long-standing women's organisations have been strong allies on this because they recognise that trans women are women and we will never be free until we are all free. The last decade has been a renaissance for the women's movement. Just look at the public joy of celebrating the football ferns and black ferns and the power of the Me Too movement. Strong movements bring people together. They don't drive people apart. And that's why it's been so disappointing to also see the rise in transphobia in our communities and politics, activated from offshore. When Carterton elected Georgina Beyer as mayor, they didn't see her as a threat to women. They saw her as the eloquent Bolshie woman who would fight for them, and she did. And I want to acknowledge the Inclusive Greens, Disabled People's Assembly, People First, CCS Disability Action, Paula Tesoro, the Disabled People's Organisations, Deaf Action Aotearoa, Arts Access Aotearoa, Access Matters, Huhana Hiki, and all the brilliant disabled activists and allies who I've had the privilege of learning from. We have a very long way to go as a country to remove all the barriers to disabled people being able to fully access their human rights. I'm so pleased that the staunch advocacy of disabled people has led to the delay and hopefully review of the poorly named and even more poorly drafted accessibility for New Zealanders. But change is possible. Still, I've found it hard to hang on to the progress we've made because I'm so aware of the remaining gap between what we've achieved and what we still need to do to truly uphold the mana and potential of people and planet. We're watching countries burn right now. We're seeing beaches covered with dead fish because the oceans have become too warm for them to survive. Too many of our communities are experiencing climate change viscerally, and the stress and fear is real. We're also facing a biodiversity crisis that might spell ruin even before complete climate breakdown. I know I'm a downer. Those who know are questioning why our political leaders aren't responding to the same information that they're seeing with urgency. And I know that the Honourable James Shaw struggles with this frustration as he continues to turn up every day to fight for what is required. But when we see the most marginalised people being used as scapegoats to feed political ambitions, people still struggling to pay the bills and care for their kids, when children are still being raped and sexually abused and we don't trust yet the system enough to protect them, let alone help the person who hurt them to change, it's easy to feel hopeless. Somehow, we need to find a way to hold the possibility of transformation at the scale our circumstances demand. Now more than ever, we need hope. We need hope in the possibility of collective action. I'm 100% confident the Greens hold the things I really care about, and I can walk away with just gratitude and huge respect to them and a sense of knowing that they will continue, but they cannot do it alone. In my 12 years, I've seen significant change that has happened because people have come together to create that change. The challenges in front of us now are bigger than they have ever been, and only if we come together can we meet those challenges and create a future where our children can thrive. The time is now, and we do not have time to wait. We need to stop thinking that politicians are going to fix this without stepping up to help them. No one in this place succeeds alone. Our power is only derived from our communities, and the most meaningful thing we can do is to honour that gift and give the power back. Every decision to join a group, create a petition, join a march, to vote, join the Greens, turn up for a better future, to stand for hope, to stand together for urgent climate and environmental action in a society where everyone can live in dignity under the shelter and the power of Te Tiriti, will help create that future. I began my maiden speech saying, I look forward to our ongoing journey. And that is how I will conclude. Ka whaiwhai tōna mātou. Ake, ake, ake.